Steve Mitchell. He is the Economic Development Director from Carbondale and our guest this morning. And first things first, Steve, morning. How are you, buddy?
Tom, I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. Phase four. All right. That's what I want to start off with this morning. I don't know. I maybe even brought this up with you once before, but Herrenmayer, Steve Fortini says, you know, when we get back to normal, we should have like a ribbon cutting across the street. We should be in some type of celebration. And I agree with him. But unfortunately, the kind of tentative nature of some of this material, I think, doesn't give us what we need to be able to do that. I mean, you stand 6 feet apart while you're doing a ribbon cutting. We've actually seen it. I get that idea of celebration. But it is still kind of tentative in many ways, and part of it is because we're still learning.
Well, Mayor Fortini is a great guy, and I totally agree with him. When things do get back to normal, I think we should have a huge celebration. I'm talking about a party, right?
Right.
Every town needs to celebrate it. But we're not there yet. We're not in Phase 5. We're in Phase 4. And we're seeing what's happening in some of the other states south of us and around us that they're having a resurgence of this. So we're not quite there yet, but by golly, we're opening up to indoor seating. We're opening up quite a bit. And I have to tell you, the businesses that I talk to are super excited about it.
You know, and why wouldn't you? When you look at these numbers, sure, we've had to announce some deaths, but Jackson County, as of yesterday, 3 new cases, female preteen teen, one female 50s, one in 60s. Right. Confirmed deaths to date, 19 in Jackson County, 292 have been released. 16 are being managed at this time. The numbers have been down. They've been lower. 41 new deaths reported statewide yesterday, phase four. But of course, that specter of returning if the numbers go up, and we've seen it other places. Like I said, Texas has stopped their phased reopening, but I think those numbers, when the lower numbers, I think will generate a certain level of enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. You know what? Some of the metrics that these folks use, one of them is positivity rate. So our positivity rate has been way down. I had a conversation with SIH, a friend of mine that works there, and he said, you know, for phase four, everything really looks good. There's lots of hospital beds available. They're opening back up. Our healthcare providers are opening back up for elective surgeries. So all of that's looking really good. I think we're really solid to get into phase four. And if folks take this seriously and do what they're supposed to do, you know, wear the mask and stay 6 feet from each other, we can stay in phase four and we can move into phase five as soon as possible.
Well, hopefully those goals will be achievable, because they've always kind of hinged that on a vaccine, and that's what made me always a little leery of phase five status.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of a longer target. You know, it's either where everyone is immune or we have a vaccine that everyone has received. So that's going to take some time.
You know, in watching social media and trying to kind of keep my idea on the pulse of and mood of people, I think we will see a lot of enthusiasm. Some of it will be because it's pent-up demand. Some will be because we've seen numbers. Others because they'll just be a little stir-crazy or cabin-crazy, right? And, it's summertime and long daylight hours, so you should be out doing things. But I always worry a little bit, because some of these points have become so contentious, masks, that, you know, I just feel like at some point you say, look, you know, your enthusiasm, we have it out here, but please understand our employees are following guidelines that were developed by the state of Illinois. They're not our guidelines, but they're the guidelines we have to observe if we're going to be able to continue to keep our business open, our employees employed, and the food going, or whatever service is being provided. There's so many contentious points. Taking it out on people is something that I've seen already, and with the increased number of people and the pent-up demand and enthusiasm, I hope people don't take that as a license, carte blanche, to be rude to people that try to enforce rules that maybe they don't even agree with, but they are a necessity because of, well, being able to keep the doors open.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the businesses that are following these guidelines aren't following – they're not the business's guidelines. They're required to follow these by the state. And it's not their fault. They're doing everything that they can to open back up, to serve the customers safely, to make people feel comfortable. And I really – you know, Tom, I think that right there is one of the keys, is making people feel comfortable and safe, their customers, because I just – listen to something earlier today about what businesses are seeing from their customer traffic. And in areas where deaths have been increasing, regardless of what a government official says, customer traffic slowed way, way, way down. So it's really up to each individual business to do everything that they can to make sure their customers feel like they're being protected. And I got to tell you, the businesses that I've talked to are taking this very seriously.
What's the biggest change you believe that comes along today with Phase 4, Steve?
Well, one of the ones that's really on my radar right now is indoor seating for restaurants and bars.
Especially especially with the chance of showers and thunderstorms. Last weekend, I was wondering if you were going to say that, because I was watching on social media and people going, it's no fun eating in the parking lot during a thunderstorm.
No, it's it can be a little rough. As a matter of fact, we had a couple of thunderstorms early on, I think a few days into this, where there a lot of folks' tents blew down. It was the remnants of a hurricane that blew. It was a tropical storm or whatever
right.
It was.
Had the wind advisors, yeah.
Yeah, but no, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, it's summertime in southern Illinois. My Lord, it's hot. So who wants to sit outside under a tent in the heat? See, I'm super glad to see this. And you know what? Nobody really knew what the capacity restrictions for restaurants and bar were going to be until they actually came out. And we could all guess, and I was guilty of that too. I, you know, just for lack of information, I had to guess. But fortunately, I guessed low. I haven't heard too many restaurants and bars complain about capacity restrictions. Right now, if you probably know this already, Tom, but tables inside have to be 6 feet apart and no more than 10 people per party. And that's it. That's capacity restriction. So if you can, however many tables you can fit that are 6 feet apart, that's how many people you can serve.
Well, and let's take a look at that. The difficulties of that, Steve. Let's pretend you and I are in Newell House. Mm-hmm. All right. And we're on the main area, Newell House. I know it's closed. One of the reasons why I'm using an example, so I don't seem as though I'm showing favoritism toward one restaurant or another.
Sure.
Now at that location, which we'll be able to reference again in a couple of moments, come to think of it, that they're, you know, it's kind of long, right? It's long and strung out. So if you put, you know, and I imagine that one door towards the east, if you put 10 people there and then 6 feet away from 10 people, a large section of your floor plan is gone.
That's true. That's true. So the capacity limits kind of take care of themselves based on the available space.
I see.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk to you about something else, and I've been watching this, and thankfully I'd spoke to you earlier in the week so that I had a frame of reference for this $60 million in new business interruption grants that the governor announced earlier this week. Now, this is $60 million for COVID-19. There's another $25 million for businesses destroyed by civil unrest. So they came out and they said $85 million, but you have to look, there's a breakout there. And 60 of it is for these interruption grants. And you've been working on information to provide to your businesses. What is the interruption grant? And what's it meant to its goal? And how can you get a piece of that if you need it?
Well, you know, they've got a lot of different categories, eligibility categories. Some of the businesses they're looking at really are the ones who have been impacted the most, the ones who were deemed ineligible by the state when the stay-at-home order was first issued. So, you know, we're talking about restaurants and bars, fitness centers, barbershops and salons, and other. Now, that other can include businesses that were impacted by the civil disorder that we experienced, especially up in the northern part of the state, due to the George Floyd protest and everything around that. So they have set aside some money that for businesses that were not only impacted by the pandemic, but were also impacted by the civil disorder that several communities in Illinois suffered. So that and they get priority. They're getting some of the money out of the first round, or getting opportunity out of the first round. And I have to tell you, one of the things about this grant makes it a little bit different than some of the others that I've been working with is that it's a lottery-type grant. You remember that first round of hospitality grants that came
out?
I do,
and I'm really glad you brought this up, because when I think of lottery, I don't know why I kind of came up with first come, first serve, but that's not the case here.
It isn't the case. You know, if you get your application in within the deadline, and I believe it opens up today, I haven't looked yet, but the application is supposed to be online today. And then if memory serves, it runs through July 7th. So any business that is deemed eligible and has suffered damage has an equal chance, no matter if they file on the first day or the last day of that period. So that kind of levels the playing field a little bit. I don't think a lot of folks really like the whole lottery concept, but, you know, frankly, that's out of our hands. It's that's the way the rules are, so we have to adapt to it.
All right, so there's a deadline for this, and it's pretty quick, isn't it?
Yeah, if memory serves, July 7th, I believe.
All
right. I have to go back and double-check that, but I believe that is it.
It's a really quick, if you want to apply for this, and where can you go to be able to get more information on this?
You can go to the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunities website, DCEO.
Right.
Go to their website, and you'll be able to find it. It's very clearly marked, the BIG grant or business interruption grant. Now, there is the application does have a lot of eligibility factors, that questions that you have to answer to determine your eligibility. And there is a lot of documentation that applicants are going to have to provide. So I would really encourage, before you begin working on this grant, that you take a look at what those requirements are and you get all your documents in order so that you can kind of fly through this thing as quickly as possible.
I want to thank one of our listeners just texting in. Ron, thanks for the note. We were talking about restaurants. Steve and I were a couple of moments ago. And, Ron, I'm glad you brought this up, that if and this would be, gosh, I'm trying to think of a couple of places that have booths in Carbondale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. There's a bunch of places. That
right. Mm-hmm. That if you use plexiglass separators, then you don't have to have the 6-foot distancing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Impermeable barrier, I think, is how they describe that. And we typically think of plexiglass. But it could be anything, frankly.
Right.
It doesn't have to be plexiglass. But, yes, yeah, some sort of impermeable barrier to prevent airflow and contact between the tables. That's
right.
Exactly right.
Could be.
That's a great point.
Could be drywall. It doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah, it could be plywood. I mean, you wouldn't want something kind of crude, and you know, you wouldn't want to go out in the backyard and pick up some old plywood you had sitting
right,
out there. But,
right,
you know, it's, yeah, absolutely.
You've got a ribbon cutting this morning at 9:45, marijuana, first Carbondale marijuana, is dispensary the right word?
Adult use cannabis dispensary, Tom.
Okay.
Adult use cannabis dispensary.
Today, 9:45.
Yes,
tell me what's going on there today.
Well, it's been a long road, and we've worked really closely with the ownership of the it's the folks who also own what was used to be the Harbory. Now it's Consume Marion. But Consume Cannabis Company of Carbondale is opening the doors at 10 a.m. this morning. They're going to have a ribbon cutting at 9:45. Mayor Henry is going to be cutting the ribbon, and we may even have some city officials in the front of the line once they open for business.
Okay.
This will be some first official customers.
And this is one of two locations. You have a grow location. It used to be what, the old Holiday Inn location. Is that right?
No. We've got that piece of property is under contract.
Uh-huh.
In case the organization is awarded a craft grow license, so
it's not
none
a done
of those
deal.
Licenses have been actually been issued yet.
Oh, okay. So it's not. There's a lot of paperwork and loop jumping that still has to go on. Then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, the pandemic has messed up a lot of stuff, and that's one of the things that's messed up. There's in May 1st was the original due date or deadline for the second round of licenses. The first round of licenses went to the existing medical cannabis license holders. The second round went to anybody else, and that was supposed to be issued in May. That's been delayed now because of the pandemic. But the craft grow licenses were supposed to be issued in July, coming up here in just a couple of weeks, and that's been delayed as well. So we're going to have to wait and see and see who gets it. There's only 40 licenses that were available statewide for craft grow.
Right.
And so there's no guarantee that the Carbondale, Jackson County, or even Southern Illinois will see one. But our fingers are crossed. I think we've got some good applicants that are looking.
I hate to sound stupid, but what is a craft grow operation? And when I say that, compared to the one in Jackson County, I took a tour with that with State Representative Severin, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a grow facility. What is the difference between that and a craft grow facility?
I would compare it to a brewery. So you can think of a great big industrial-sized brewery, Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, for example. Okay, that would be, we would compare the large-scale cannabis manufacturers or cannabis growers to a larger-scale brewery. We would consider a craft grow more like a local brewery, locally
right,
owned, independently owned brewery.
Okay.
So smaller very specialized and really kind of more localized.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll learn more on that at a later point. Steve Mitchell, hey, before I let you go, phase four today, Steve Mitchell, he is the Economic Development Director of Carbondale. What will somebody see open today that wasn't open yesterday, the week before, or the month before? Is there anything on the top of your mind saying this place and this type of business is now open, whereas before it wasn't? Is there something that crosses that line for you?
Well, most of our restaurants are already offering outdoor seating. We may see a bar or two that has decided to open because they couldn't accommodate outdoor seating. But really, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see more outdoor sports. We're going to see more theaters. We're going to see more ticketed events where there's assigned seating. So it's going to feel a little bit normal, I think, as we move through the summer. So we're going to have some of those outdoor activities that we were not allowed to have. It's going to feel a lot different, and it's going to feel a little bit more normal.
Yeah. Steve, hey, it's always good to talk to you, pal. Good luck on your grand opening today, your ribbon cutting there in Carbondale as you welcome a new business.
It's always a pleasure, Tom.
Hated to see GNC out of the mall and some of those other things. Hate seeing that stuff.
Nationwide, man, they're filing for bankruptcy left and right all across the nation. You know, and it's this pandemic's not just hit our local mom and pops. You know, it's hitting the large national chains too. It's really been an issue. My hope is that we can work as hard as we can to keep as many businesses up and going as long as possible.